Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship at Hillhead. Our worship this morning will be led by Brian, and as you can see, will include communion. And we are also delighted to have Jenny here with us as she is welcomed into membership this morning. In family news, we remember Joan's sister-in-law, who is currently in hospital abroad. She's in Fortaventura. After a fall on holiday, and Joan's brother, who is having to deal with the aftermath of all of that in a foreign country. So we remember Catherine and Clive as they deal with all of that. There will be lots of opportunities, as usual, to be together in the coming week. Our Zoom conversation group for Lent continues on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock on Zoom, where we are continuing to use the video materials from Eco Congregation Scotland. Everything you need will be shared during the meeting, and there's nothing to prepare in advance. Everyone is welcome to join at any stage in our Lenten conversations. The Coffee Club will meet as usual at 10:30 on Wednesday at Esquire House. We also have advance notice of a few things. On the 13th of March at 10:30, a speaker is coming to Coffee Club to talk about scams and how to avoid and spot them. This is part of the community outreach reach of one of the building societies. This meeting is going to be held in Barbara's flat in Annieslands, and anyone who'd like to join the Coffee Club for this meeting is very welcome. Please let Joan, Margaret or Barbara know if you wish to attend. Some of you will have seen my email yesterday from Weems Properties. They're holding a second community consultation event on Wednesday the 20th of March between 3 p.m. and 7:15 at Hillhead Library to display and discuss proposals for our former church building. And I circulated the information about that yesterday in case anyone wishes to attend. What I'll do today is I'll circulate some more information. Unfortunately, Richard Baxter from Wellington had been emailing the wrong email address for me about what their plans for Holy Week and for Easter. So I chased him up this week and will get in touch with what the West End churches are planning for Holy Week and Easter in case anyone wants to join in with that. Next week, we will meet together as usual in the hotel and on Zoom, when Graham Clark will be with us to lead our worship, which, as I announced last week, includes a church meeting. These are all our notices.
Every day we make choices and take decisions. We walk alongside each other as we make these choices and take these decisions. This morning, we will reflect on the road that we travel before and after each choice, each decision. Let us pray. We gather in the presence of the Eternal One, of a God who loves us unconditionally as we try to follow the paths of life. We confess that we sometimes wish that God would make the way more clear for us. Sometimes we even wish that we did not have so much freedom to choose. But we are made to be free, made to be creative, to make choices. Whether we are young or older, we realise that we can make mistakes in our choices. Mistakes about what is right and wrong, about speaking or remaining silent, about what we want to value in life. But the cross of Jesus is the sign of the unending love of God for all creation. We are never condemned, but we are offered healing, forgiveness, and grace. Thanks be to God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's not always the case, but we normally share communion at the end of our service. That's also the occasion that we welcome those who wish to throw in their lot with our community that we call Hillhead Baptist Church. Having taken soundings from a whole lot of you, including the Sunday School, this morning we're going to do something different. While we're still together, we will welcome a new member of our church and share communion. Can I ask that you have the words on the order of yourself ready, order of service ready, for when you will require them shortly. And for this morning, for the avoidance of doubt, when we do these responses, we'll simply remain seated because it feels a bit crowded if everybody stands up. This morning, it's our joy to welcome Jenny into the covenanted membership of our church. Before we do that, Jenny has asked to say a few words about what has led her to this decision.
I want to thank you first for inviting me to become a member of Hillhead Baptist Church. In 2016, I began working for an elderly man, Charlie, in Partick. As I was away from my home church for up to a month, I wanted to attend a local church. Looking online, I found Hillhead, which was still at the Tryst. Anne welcomed me there, and each time I returned, she again welcomed me. I loved the half-hour walk to the hotel as it settled my mind and helped me to get into the frame of mind for the service. Charlie died just before the pandemic, and to support me, Katrina attended his funeral with me. Then COVID came and Zoom church services began, so I was able to attend from Newton Stewart. This enabled me to get to know more members of the congregation, as I'd never had time to stay for tea because my break was only 2 hours long. I felt particularly cared for and nurtured when I received Katrina's Advent goodie bag, with each item reflecting a thought for Advent. This was during our lockdown of Christmas 2020. I want to thank you all so much for welcoming me.
Jenny is transferring to our church from Wigton Baptist Church, and she comes with the full support and blessing of that community. Jenny, do you believe that for this stage of your life, you have been led to share in the worship, life and witness of Hillhead Baptist Church.
I do, and I thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts that God has given you, that together we may serve this community and the wider world?
I will, and all I have is given by God.
As Christians within the Baptist tradition, we covenant together as a community where each and every one of us shares the joys and responsibilities of the fellowship. We gather for worship and for church meetings to discern what the mind of Christ is for our community. We seek to support and build up one another in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
I will. Thanks be to God.
Jenny, you have made your pledges to this community. We now make our pledges to you. For those of you who are members here or are regular attenders in this community, you're invited to respond as shown on your order of service. If you're in Zoom, please keep your microphone muted. We have already welcomed Jenny into our community here over many years and in increasing stages over the past 8 years. But do you now welcome her into covenanted membership?
We do. This is our joy and our calling.
God has given us the gift of Jenny, and through her has given us gifts unique to her for the ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support her in this witness and in the responsibilities of church membership?
We will. Thanks be to God.
Will you encourage her through hospitality, friendship, and prayer?
We will, in the fellowship of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Jenny Horry, as Church Secretary, will now formally welcome you into the church.
I'm trying not to trip over the microphone.
Well, thank you very much.
We are delighted to welcome you into membership, you know that.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May God's grace empower us to fulfil these pledges that we have made, so that in our life together we may see Christ in others, so that they may see Christ in us. Amen. When we love one another, God is with us. When we share food with one another, God is with us. Loving and sharing are signs of God. Sharing food together with our family and friends can sometimes help us to see things more clearly and helpfully. It can help us to see that some of our problems can be made a lot better by sharing them with others. It can help us to see that sharing with others can make us happy and make others happy too. When we share communion together, eating and drinking together, we also think of the way in which the life and death of Jesus has shown us what God is like. And because of that, we believe that Jesus is with us in communion. And so among friends and gathered round table, Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This reminds you of my body broken for you." We eat the bread as we receive it. Jesus later took a cup of wine and said, "This reminds you of my death and of the new relationship that you now have with God." We retain the cup so that we may drink together as a sign of community. We drink in fellowship together. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we have put our lives into your hands. May we walk this way together. Amen. When someone joins our church, we always ask them to choose a hymn that means a lot to them. And the hymn that we sing now has been chosen by Jenny. And while Paul plays the introduction, we'll gather the cups back in.
Our reading today is from Exodus 20, verses 8 to 17, and I will read in German. Gedenke des Sabbats, halte ihn heilig. 6 Tage darfst du schaffen und all deine Arbeit tun. Der 7. Tag ist ein Ruhetag, dem Herrn, deinem Gott, geweiht. An ihm darfst du keine Arbeit tun, du und dein Sohn und deine Tochter, dein Sklave und deine Sklavin, und dein Vieh und dein Fremder in deinen Toren. Denn in 6 Tagen hat der Herr Himmel, Erde und Meer gemacht und alles, was dazugehört. Am 7. Tag ruhte er. Darum hat der Herr den Sabbat gesegnet und ihn geheiligt. Ehre deinen Vater und deine Mutter, damit du lange lebst in dem Land, das der Herr, dein Gott, dir gibt. Du sollst nicht töten. Du sollst nicht die Ehe brechen. Du sollst nicht stehlen. Du sollst nicht falsch gegen deinen Nächsten aussagen. Du sollst nicht das Haus deines Nächsten begehren. Du sollst nicht die Frau deines Nächsten begehren, nicht seinen Sklaven oder seine Sklavin, sein Rind oder seinen Esel oder irgendwas, das deinem Nächsten gehört. The second reading is from John 2, verses 13 to 16, again also in German. Kurz vor dem jüdischen Passafest reiste Jesus nach Jerusalem. Dort sah er im Vorhof des Tempels viele Händler, die Rinder, Schafe und Tauben als Opfertiere verkauften. Auch Geldwechsler saßen hinter ihren Tischen. Jesus machte sich aus Stricken eine Peitsche und jagte die Händler mit all ihren Schafen und Rindern aus dem Tempelbezirk. Er schleuderte das Geld der Wechsler auf den Boden und warf ihre Tische um. Den Taubenhändlern befahl er: Schafft das alles hinaus. Das Haus meines Vaters ist doch keine Markthalle.
I've heard the readings, or two of the four readings from the lectionary for today. The narrative from the Hebrew scriptures, from Exodus, that we call the Ten Commandments. And the reading from the story of Jesus as told by John about Jesus' vigorous language and vigorous physical actions in the so-called cleansing of the temple. And you've seen my theme for this morning at the top of the order of service. What if every little thing you do changes history? You'll also see the image that's at this point in your order of service. I'd have to have a wee look at it just now. You may wish to meditate on that at various points as I speak. You may not wish to meditate on it, and that's equally fine. I hope that, like me, you've been inspired, challenged, and encouraged by the diversity and thoughtfulness of our Sunday gatherings during the past few months. For those of us attending the Tuesday evening conversations, there has also been a sense of us walking together and supporting each other in our complex lives. This morning, I'm hoping, and I'm hoping that you might agree with me, to build on some of the inspiration that I have personally drawn from these services and conversations, in particular from something that Laura talked about in mid-January and what Neil talked about 2 weeks ago today. Mind you, although I was fairly settled on the shape of this morning's reflections some 10 days ago, you'll not be surprised to learn, as often seems to happen to me, that at the very last minute, Friday morning to be precise, I was thrown off course by something that happened, but more of that later. Those of you who were here 2 weeks ago or subsequently listened to the service on the our podcast portal will have heard Neil's entertaining story, which began with a man meeting a woman entirely by chance in a dental surgery. The man and the woman married sometime later. They had a family, which included Neil. And so it was, Neil suggested, he had really only come into being because of when a man decided to go to a dentist because of his year-long toothache. Neil's story reminded me of some of my sliding doors moments, where different decisions made, or even different timings in these decisions, could have led to very, very different outcomes. We will all have stories like this of our own, where one thing led to another, and then to another, and then to another. At every point in these progressions, things could have gone down an entirely new path. Here's one of my stories. Although, I'll just say it before I tell you, it boils down to this. I may not be standing before you today, had my application for a Crusader summer camp in 1969 not been lost in their administration systems, meaning I subsequently couldn't go to that camp. I'll explain. In 1969, I applied to go to a Crusader summer camp. Some of you will know what Crusaders are, others won't. It was a youth organisation which really tried to, both within the church and out with the church, help young people, basically in primary and secondary school age, to come into contact with the stories of the Bible. This particular summer camp didn't happen for me, and instead I went to a Scripture Union summer camp at school in East Lothian. And because I had made that switch, I never went back to Crusader camps again. I always went to Scripture Union camps. In 1972, at that camp, a chap called Jim Punton, who some of you know, and who was a member of the Frontier Youth Trust, which I always refer to as actually the paramilitary wing of the Scripture Union. It was part of the Scripture Union, but Scripture Union sort of turned a blind eye to the radical nature of Frontier Youth Trust, who went about their subversive activity, helping people to think more widely. And I came into contact with Jim at that camp. I was brought up in a church which was very conservative evangelical. And Jim Punton, for the first time, broadened my outlook. A year later, at the same Scripture Union camp at school, a very strange tabloid newspaper was distributed to everybody at the camp. It was called GRF News, and it was from this organisation in Glasgow called then Gospel Radio Fellowship, now called GRF Christian Radio. And it was a tabloid newspaper that was ecumenical and sent free throughout the whole of Scotland to anybody that wanted it in the churches and out with the churches. Through that, I discovered the existence of GRF Christian Radio. And that summer, in 1973, I went to their then studios in Argyle Street and was met by Ian Sinclair, who at that time was a full-time worker with GRF Christian Radio. A year later, or 2 years later, I met Paul Harris, who joined the team at that point as well. And later that year at a conference in Netherhall in Largs, some of you may remember, it was a big Christian retreat centre no longer existing, I met Anne for the first time. Also that year, because of all this sort of thing I was going through, GRF was a very open organisation as well, I started to be really a little unhappy with the church I was in. And I started going along to another church, Victoria Place Baptist Church in Paisley, where the minister was Edward Fraser, subsequently to become the minister of Hillhead Baptist Church. That was also the first time that I met Edward's son, Paul. Anyway, you can see where the story is going. Anne and I got together. We joined Hillhead Baptist Church in 1980. I joined Hillhead Baptist Church in 1984, Anne having been here for 12 years before that. A question that I often ask myself, without the open and generous Christian faith expressed in these forums that I was in, would I be involved today in a community of faith? Basically, would I be standing here if my application for that camp had not been lost? It's not just personal stories. It's not just Neil's story. It's not just my story. It's not just your story. Randomness seems to be built into the whole of creation. We're all familiar with the butterfly theory, that the beating of a butterfly's wings in, say, Mongolia, can result after a whole chain of consequences in a particularly violent storm off the coast of Ecuador. And some people say that theory is nonsense, of course, but we understand the whole thing, that small things can make another small thing change, can make another small thing change, and that sort of goes on and on. I've been interested in the current series on BBC Radio 4, which investigates similar randomness in the field of politics and economics. Some of you may have heard these programmes. They're still running just now. And you may have heard last week's episode. It goes something like this. In the 1960s, a man called Farouk Al-Qassim was moving his family from Iraq to Norway. His wife was Norwegian. They'd married a few years previously, but had moved to Iraq, where he had a very senior job in the Iraqi oil industry. But his son needed medical care that was really only available in Norway, and he moved there. They moved there. He had been a geodesist in Iraq. Now, we know what a geodesist is, some of us, because one of our former members, Jack Waitman, was the head geodesist for Britoil when they were at the peak of doing their work in the North Sea. That means you're involved in identifying geological formations in which oil might be found. In Oslo, his family had already moved, but he was now flying over. In Oslo, he'd flown in, but he'd wait 8 hours in the city centre before his train was to leave. He was worried about moving to Norway because Norway did not have an oil industry, and he had no training in anything else. There was no market for his skills. He actually wandered about the city centre and he saw a job centre and he saw this interviews for reviewing an oil document. And there were interviews were just an hour later. He turned up unannounced, was interviewed and was offered the job, which was to spend 3 months reviewing the Norwegian Geological Institute's study, which basically said there was no likelihood of oil being discovered in Norwegian waters. He undertook his review. He basically pointed out that the report was rubbish. And they were so impressed with him that they took him on to help with exploration. And he did. And, you know, here we are in 2024. We have views today about carbon use, which are different to what were then. But he went ahead, built up the whole of the Norwegian oil industry. But, and this is the important thing, he had seen in Iraq what had actually happened to oil wealth and how it had actually destroyed the country as well as bringing in wealth. And because of that experience, he recommended to the Norwegian government that they should control totally the oil exploration, that they should totally control the revenues that come in and not privatise it. He recommended to them that they should set up a sovereign wealth fund so that all the money that was going to be generated would be for the good of the people of Norway, specifically at that stage for future pension funds. He was thinking as basic as that. The government accepted all his advice, and we all know what happened. Norway is the only nation state that actually the people have benefited from the oil, as opposed to it being squandered, frittered away, as squirreled into private pockets. With a population the same size as Scotland, Norway is now the wealthiest country in the world per capita, and regular tops the happiest tables too. Through a random and unexpected action while waiting for a train, did one man from Iraq make Norway what it is today. In another example, something is happening this Friday, which is of great significance for us gathered here today. A couple of years ago, there was first contact with the church from someone who is a descendant of one of our founders. And that developed over the years. It sort of lost a wee bit of traction when Anne died. But they've come back and they've been in touch with Holly. And the story is this. This person started to do some research and realised that one of their, well, their great-great-great-grandfather was one of the founders of this congregation. Started to do a lot more research and then found, in doing that research, a connection to another person who was a descendant. To cut a very long story short, they've all found each other and they're all going to be in Glasgow this week. 15 of them, all of whom are descended from our founders, are coming here to celebrate together what their ancestors did 141 years ago. It's quite interesting that they're doing that. They're going to go to the necropolis, first of all, where quite a number of our founding members are buried. Interestingly, three of them beside each other in the necropolis behind the cathedral. They're then coming to the West End for a meal together in Cresswell Lane. And then they're going to walk round the houses where our founders lived in. They have that information because you may remember at the very start of the pandemic, Anne set herself a project to trace them all and find the houses they lived in. And the only reason that they're able to do that is because of one Anne sent them 2 years ago. I'll be meeting with them, and I hope that you would be happy for me to take the greetings of the current congregation. How appropriate that they're in Glasgow, in the Hillhead area, the very same weekend that we will be meeting as the current Hillhead Baptist Church to complete our current discernment process for the next phase of the life and witness of HBC. And we could go on with these randomness in everything in life. At a geopolitical level, we remember the elections this week in Iran, and we remember Elham and Ali and Anas and Esan and Nasi and all their families here and there at this time, knowing that whatever happens is going to affect what happens next. The profound and bewildering reality is that we are living in sliding doors moments constantly, totally unaware of how our path through life and the trajectories of our societies are constantly branching infinitely and as a result of tiny accidental shifts. We ignore these invisible pivots, the moments we will never realise were consequential, the near misses, the near hits that are unknown to us because we have never seen and will never see our alternative possible lives. The paradox then is that we control nothing, but we influence everything. Every action has an unforeseen ripple effect. Nothing is meaningless. And that yields a profound truth that everything we do in every moment of every day matters. We may recognise this paradox as our lived experience. I remember in my teenage years being increasingly uncomfortable with the idea that God has a plan for your life, or at least uncomfortable with what was being suggested as to what that might mean. It was suggested that in our life there would be specific series of events that would be in God's will. The unspoken, although sometimes spoken, implication was that any other path would not be in God's will. This was all well meant. The church community of my youth, this was all communicated in a benign way. Our teachers and leaders wanted only the best for everyone. But many of us will have come across extreme versions of that within the various flavours of Christian organisations. And of course, the same is true within other faiths and also non-faith-based organisations, including political parties. It has to be this way or no way. But as I also heard other ways of thinking, which I've mentioned earlier, which seemed to me to be based on taking the Bible seriously rather than literally, it came to me that God did indeed have a plan for our lives, but it was to walk alongside us through thick and thin, not regarding us as robots. We may be drawn to express this through the framework for living, as recorded in the text from Exodus that we heard this morning and that we call the Ten Commandments. We may be drawn to express it through anger at human activities and policies and actions that continue to deny fullness of life to all, as recorded in John's story of Jesus in the temple. Different paths at different times of life. There are many forks in the road. It's not that only one of these is the one that God has chosen for us. And I refer you again to the image that's on the order of service. The paradox might seem a bit scary, Where is meaning if everything is random? Which is why I was so forcefully struck by one of Laura's points back in January. In her description of kilt making, she mentioned the importance of the anchor stitch, the stitch which is hidden but fundamental to the structure of all the other stitches and the structure of the whole garment. Hidden but fundamental. The primal force, the energy of the universe, the source of all creation, which we choose to call God. A God whose love walks alongside us, with an arm around us, at every stage in our life, within every choice we make, and on every path we choose. Hidden, but fundamental. We sing, there's a wideness in God's mercy.
Into our time of prayer for others. Spirit of truth and grace, Father of love and justice, Jesus, friend and solace, we give you thanks for the ways that you guide us to live lives worthy of being called your disciples. Thank you for the words of Scripture, the whispers of the Spirit, and for your presence and strength within and beside us as we seek to follow you. God of love, help us keep our own house, our own church, and our own very selves holy. Help us keep our eyes fixed firmly on you in all that we do, so that it can be seen that all we do is in pursuit of you and your kingdom. Help us to be encouraged by the small seeds of change that we might plant, trusting that if it is your will, they will take root in the hearts of others. Lord, help us discern when to rest and when to act, when to speak and when to be silent, when to take the first small step towards the next right thing. Let us never lose sight of those on the margins, those in pain, those who suffer, but let us bring them before you, both in prayer and in action. God of justice, the BMS asks us to pray this week for the theme of gender justice. The value that Jesus placed on women was radically countercultural. We pray for BMS World Mission and other organisations as they are committed to promoting women as inherently valuable made in the image of God. We pray today especially for BMS's legal partners as they seek to empower and protect women against acts of violence and injustice put upon them due to their gender. Today we pray for the Uganda Christian Lawyers Fraternity, the Mozambican Association of Christian Lawyers, Jolly Atimango, Jane Edwards, BMS Gender Justice Coordinator, and for male champions committed to advancing gender justice. May men and women continue to work together as agents of change. In our Baptist Union of Scotland, we pray for our sister churches across the region, for Cathcart Baptist Church, CBC Community Church, Central Baptist Church in Dundee, and for Glenn Innes, future church lead at the Baptist Union of Scotland. Lord, we pray for gender justice in our churches too, that women may be allowed the space and opportunities to flourish in line with the gifts and calling that you have placed on their lives. We give thanks for the work of Bugby's Project Violet as the researchers seek to act as agents for change in this area. Move among us, O God, give us life. Let your people rejoice in you. Make our hearts clean within us, renew us in spirit and mind. Give us again the joy of your hope. With your spirit of freedom, sustain us. O God, you have set before us a great hope that your kingdom will come on earth and have taught us to pray for its coming. Make us ready to thank you for the signs of its dawning and to pray and work for the perfect day when your will should be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you.
we go in peace into the tasks and relationships that lie ahead. We go in faith because we never travel alone. God is with us, and we are with each other. May the love of God be our guide, the courage of Jesus lead us on, and the Spirit dance ahead of us on the way. Amen.